You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury. Welcome to the podcast. We are kicking off season two today, and I can't think of a better way to do it than with our new student body president, Zach Fazio. Welcome to the studio, Zach.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Abby.
Yes. Well, if you're not on campus today, it's the end of August. We're welcoming our new class to campus tomorrow. It's a gorgeous day. Zach has his student government shirt on. You just took your headshots. There's a lot of excitement on campus today. How excited are you for this new year to begin?
Oh, I'm super excited. Getting to see everyone's faces as you kind of come back, seeing all your friends, getting to better know my team, it's just been really great.
Yeah.
It's been really great.
So, Zach, for people who don't know you, tell us where you're from and a little bit about yourself.
I'm a first-gen college student.
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from Louisville. And so with that, I was homeschooled most of my life, kind of had my hand in a few different buckets, did like speech and debate club, played two instruments. I played piano and violin.
Cool.
And so we always got to go out and do a lot of variety of different stuff, because that's the unique thing you get when you're
homeschooling. Yes.
Exactly. I didn't know where I was going to go to school, took a year off, and one thing led to another, and now God wanted me here. And so here I am.
Great. And you have sort of taken that well-rounded liberal arts approach that you had when you were a kid here into college. Tell me about what you're studying and why.
So right now I'm pursuing a major in finance with the Dayton School of Business, and I have an English minor or English literature minor. And so for finance, you know, I'm trying to decide why finance, or even if I should do finance. That wasn't my first thought. First thought was going down like the political science route. That's what I think most people think when they're thinking, you know, law school. But the reality is, you know, law school, one, there's a lot of poli-sci people that apply. So
that's a little different.
It can be different. And that doesn't necessarily make it better or worse, because it does prepare you. But that's something to be thinking about, is that you're going into this big pool. So I'm thinking, like, what do I want to do? I do want to stand out. I want something that I can tangibly use if I don't go down the law route. So, you know, what does that look like? And I was talking to a former attorney, and so he's like, Zach, you already love to read. It's like you do. It's like a lot of the things that they're going to have you read, you've spent that time. You've done that due diligence. And so if you could take the time to learn more of a hands-on skill, like something like accounting, something like finance, it's like I think that you might find that benefits you more.
Never know where your career will take you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you did some of that type of work over the summer with your internship. Tell me what you did this summer.
I was with Auditor Ball, State Auditor Allison Ball, and so I was getting to take on a bit more of an administrative role with her. And so what that looked like, I was getting to do a lot more of the internal workings. There was a lot of great Asbury people while we were there, which is really cool to see, because you don't always see that. You know, culture, especially with state agencies, can vary very much so what that looks like. And so having a lot of Asbury alumni, like Joseph Lewis was there, Hannah Wall, Joy Markland was there, and she was a former student body president herself, Shauna Krause. So it was just like a lot of good Asbury people and a great culture there. And so getting to be a part of that was really, really amazing.
So did that like change at all your perception of working in that kind of industry? Like, did you see some things that surprised you, or, you know, say if you work in politics or whatever it is, did anything surprise you about that?
I think, especially as a young person, as you get more internal, things aren't as polarized and crazy as people, you know, I think might think.
That's good feedback. Yeah, really, these people all get along. It's the media that are drumming up the
shenanigans. Exactly, exactly. And so I think what you see, like going down that, you know, media rabbit hole, is that, you know, people are going to do things so that way they can get views. I mean, that's how you're going to get your ad revenue. That's how you're going to get whatever. And so with that, you know, getting to be there internally, I think it was a great perspective.
Yeah.
But it didn't change my original motivation for being there.
Yeah,
and what I want to do and which is going to law school.
Yeah.
And so that's still rooted in, you know, my great grandfather, he was an attorney.
Okay.
And so he's first generation American, immigrated here from Italy.
Wow.
And so he had, you know, 8 siblings, all Brooklyn, New York. It was crazy. And so, you know, single mother, did all these things to take care of the family. And he became an attorney by going to night school and then joining the military to pay for his law school.
Wow.
And so he became an attorney and he was able to help so many people.
That's amazing. Well, from your perspective, what do you want to do? You know, you have this legacy of your great-grandfather, like you said. You have your parents who taught you very well. What's your motivation for getting involved in student government?
I really want to be able to be an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I love that thought. I love being able to communicate with students, being able to see their stories, and be able to really lean into bringing recognition to parts of campus that, you know, might not necessarily always get that.
Okay. Yeah.
One example of that might be like with facilities. We were able to meet with the head of facilities over this course of this training week and getting to see, you know, all the things that happen behind the scenes that I think students don't actually always notice. You know, you don't notice that something's going wrong until it's broken.
Until it's impacting you directly.
Exactly. And so then we just immediately think, this is an emergency. This is an emergency. We got to deal with this right now. But it turns out, like, you know, a lot of people are dealing with staffing issues after all this. And so they have, you know stacks upon stacks of paperwork that they have to go through, of work orders that they have to sift through. What actually is a vital emergency? Is your sink leaking or is, you know, the toilet flood? Like, you got to have to prioritize what's going on. And being able to have grace for that and make a space for that and realizing that, I think, goes a long way.
That's cool. So when did you first decide you wanted to get involved, and what was it like running for student body president? Did you kind of – was your mind set on that coming into school last year?
I had thought about it because I met Allison Perfader very early on, and she was very encouraging of that. So my mind had already
started. She was the student
there.
Body president 2 years ago now for people
before
listening.
Emma. Yep. Before Emma, yes. Mm-hmm. And so she was really encouraging of that. And so that's where my mind – I got stepped into, like, the class cabinet, that sort of thing. I was treasurer my freshman year. But as far as, like, where it would all take me and what that road looked like, I was kind of unsure. And so I knew that I had a heart for it. I knew that I was good at it. I knew that I had more experience on the administrative side than your average student. And so I felt like getting a grasp of that would be, you know, easier for me. The particular reason I ran as a junior actually is because, you know, you have that thought that, okay, you know, what all can you do? If you ran again, what does that look like? You have 2 years. You can make such an impact.
Yeah.
And so that's my thought. So I was like, I'll put myself out there. We'll see what happens. And so I'm super excited to be serving the role I am in now.
And you're the first guy we've had in a few years. So that's cool.
It blew my – I think it was since, what, Demarion?
It's been a few years.
it's been a while.
Fun. So what are some of the values that you'll hold in office?
Well, one big thing that we're really looking at is what does it mean to lead well? Because right now, like – we just had the world spotlight, or at least the country spotlight, directly on Asbury.
During the outpouring.
Exactly. And so I think one thing that students can forget, I mean, there were a lot of, like, state officials here that came. There were a lot of, you know, different, you know, celebrity-type figures that were here. And I will say that I know a few of them, and it made an impact. It made an impact. And so now we're in a unique position. And we're in a unique position that, you know, our voice carries a decent amount of weight, even if we don't realize it. So the example that we're setting needs to be a good one and one that not only doesn't, you know, curve itself inward towards ourselves, but points upward.
Yeah.
And so as we're coming in as EC, the motivations that we're thinking through, what does it mean to lead well and what does it mean to lead as servant leaders that reflect, you know, Christ's heart for this campus and the provision that he has in that way.
Yeah. You mentioned the outpouring. What did God teach you during the outpouring? What was that like for you?
Very impactful. I had just gone through a bad breakup. And so I had, you know, a lot of brokenness. Getting to be there in fellowship with so many of my friends, with, you know, so much staff and faculty, getting to open up in a way that I think, you know, can be very, very rare on a university campus was deeply moving to me.
Yeah.
And so I found a lot of new hope and a lot of restoration in mm-hmm. that.
Do you think your generation is better at opening up and being vulnerable than maybe previous generations? Is that something that you see among your fellow students at least?
I think that's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think right now we have, I mean, these a definite like mental health
yeah.
crisis.
Right.
I think, and Asbury's no exception to that. You know, men and women alike are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, in the midst of that, being vulnerable can be really, really hard.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable.
Right. Because the perception is that you're not, because, of course, you grew up with technology, you grew up with social media, you grew up with all the tools to hide really well. You know what I mean? But I see that changing a little bit, and I hope it continues to. And
I hope so.
I think the outpouring did help that as well.
I think that's true, especially on our campus. I do feel like people have opened up more, mm-hmm. especially with their faith, with how comfortable they are with their peers, because they shared such an intimate moment.
Right. Right. Yeah. Definitely. So you touched on your leadership style a little bit, and, you know, all the glory to God and just kind of directing your trajectory that way. So is there a leader that you admire? Is there a person you try to emulate, maybe a mentor or someone that you really look up to?
As far as direct mentors, my great grandfather, he's still alive. He's 92.
Oh, wow. That's
he's
amazing.
He's 92. Him and I have lunch and or dinner every time we can. Over the summer, we're doing dinner every single Tuesday night. So him and my father, you know, great leader that, you know, lead by example, you know, be assertive, stand up for what is right. You know, my great-grandfather would always tell me, especially as, you know, when I've told him that, you know, I had stepped into a position like mm-hmm. this, he's like, Zach, no matter what happens, no matter, you know, what expectations people try to lay on you, always observe what is right, do what is just. And that would be his slogan. He would tell me that almost I think every single Tuesday through this whole summer as we closed out our dinners together, observe what is right, do what is just.
Mm.
And so when I'm thinking of particular leadership figures, these have been, you know, so many people that have stepped in and out my life that have really just pushed me forward when I didn't know how. And God brought those people in my mm-hmm. life for that exact purpose.
Well, I love that you have those people in your life. That is so, so, so important. So shifting gears a little bit, what are your hopes and expectations for this incoming student body, both returning students and brand new students who are going to be first timers at Asbury?
I think these, a lot of excitement. I think these, a lot of new, cool things that are happening on Asbury.
Yeah.
We have, you know, GC was renovated. We have the gym was redone. We have the eatery, as they're calling it. I still find myself shifting back to CAF, but that's just me.
The place where you get food.
It's
really, really nice. I got to eat in there. It's so pretty, and the food's delicious.
they've done a great job. Yeah. I'm really impressed with everything that Fresh Ideas has been bringing.
Yeah, my favorite is the patio, especially days like today. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. The patio is beautiful day, beautiful place to spend time. Honestly, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're doing with the space.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even like we got to have a sit down meeting with one of their managers. And so seeing what they have planned for the future is just incredible.
Mm.
Incredible.
So I want to touch on something that you mentioned before. You're in the honors program. So I believe you're one of the first. Like, you're the first full class, I think.
We're the
second class.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that experience been like?
Dr. Nessa Rode and Sally Shelton are the two main heads of that program. It's been a really good experience because it's provided space for, you know, sometimes conversations that don't always happen on a university campus as you kind of really dig deep into, you know, what human value looks like.
Because the theme is virtue and human value.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you go on the Human Dignity Tour?
I did.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was transformative. I'd say if I had to use one word to describe it, it'd be transformative.
Yeah.
Because going through, I mean, there's something about, like, I would highly encourage anyone and everyone, if they have a chance to visit, it can be hard.
Yeah.
I will not lie. It was
because you
hard.
Go to the Holocaust sites and different concentration camps. Yeah.
Going to Auschwitz, going to, you know, Ravensbrück. It's a difficult experience.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult experience that I think we all need to walk through, if for nothing else than out of respect for, you know, what occurred there. Mm-hmm. And so that's a hard thing that I think deeply moves people.
Yeah, definitely.
In a very good way.
Right, right. You need to grapple with those things. And even just grappling with what humanity is capable of, you know, for good or bad, is important to understand and reckon with. And just points us to how badly we all need Jesus. And you, another thing I wanted to follow up on, you said you're a first-generation college student. Your parents did not go to college. So what was that like coming in? Was that a little intimidating, or did you feel like just so excited?
I was intimidated.
Yeah.
I was definitely intimidated. I didn't know what to expect because as a homeschooler, you know, I have not experienced any sort of institutionalized learning of any kind. So, you know, what does that look like? I mean, who can say? And so it was a lot of prayer involved.
Yeah.
A lot of financial worries because I'm having to pay for it all. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it goes with my family. Dad's like, you want to go? Great.
Great, yeah.
You're paying for every cent, so good luck.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. He was very loving about it. I have so much respect for him. I'm glad I'm doing it this way.
Better set up for success your whole life after having gone through that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So do you have younger siblings? Do you think they'll follow in your footsteps?
One of them's here.
Oh, cool.
Sophia Fazio. Okay. She's in the art program.
Oh,
she
great.
She is phenomenal.
Awesome.
Phenomenal. She got all of the art brain. Like, all of that is her. I cannot. She has all right brain. She has all the creativity in the family by far. I just don't have that. She impresses me, though, daily. And then I have Gabby.
Okay.
She's they're both their birthdays are, like, right now. So August 20th is Sophia. She's turning 20. And Gabby, August 22nd. And she's turning 18.
Fun.
And so Gabby just stepped out of high school. Who knows where she's going to
go. Yeah. Well, it's cool that one of your sisters followed in your footsteps. Yeah. You must have set a good example.
And Josiah. Josiah, my 10-year-old brother.
Yeah. He's got a little time. That's cool. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want you to give some tips to your fellow students just about life at Asbury, you know, maybe study hacks and whatever. So tell me, these are just going to be fun. We're just going to rapid fire.
Okay.
Here's a fun one. Have you ever gotten in trouble on campus?
I got in trouble on campus. That's a hard one because it's like, okay, what all are we going to talk about here? Right?
You can just say yes or no.
I'd say yes.
Okay.
I'd say yes. It was a light talking to, like, you're not supposed to be here.
There you go.
What are you doing here
type
thing.
There you go. What's your favorite memory so far that you've had as a student?
Favorite memory? I think last year was definitely a year of memories. I think getting to have my sister here. Is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know her and I are very close. I mean, I'm close with all of my siblings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But getting to have her here is really special.
Yeah, that is special.
And so a lot of being able to build with that has been great.
Yeah, that's cool. So what is your most effective study technique?
Effective study technique? Aside from, like, locking yourself away in a room and being like, don't talk to me.
Yes.
I think the best thing that I have found that helps me is listening. I listen to a lot of classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to sit down and, you know, I need to decompress a little bit. Mm-hmm. Making sure you're taking planned breaks. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with this.
Yeah.
Because I'll get into it and then I'm just like, I have my momentum. I don't want to break momentum. I'm going to stay here 4 hours. And, you know, taking breaks to go eat, to sleep.
It's important.
It's super important.
Yes.
It's super important. And I think we, as college students, we're young people, and we're just like, okay, we got – I can go, you know, on 5 hours.
You think you're invincible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely not true. At some point
– Oh, yeah.
At some point, you got to rest and take care of yourself.
Yep.
What are some of the recreational activities that you like the best about campus?
I love intramurals.
Oh, yeah.
We did a volleyball team. That is a fabulous memory that I have.
That
getting
is
to
fun.
Go through our volleyball team was just crazy. I remember, like, we had so many people on the roster because we went on the set-apart retreat, and we just recruited people from the set-apart retreat to be on our volleyball team. So, like, technically, I think, like, Zach Muircreeps, he was on our roster. I don't think he was able to come, but it was just funny that we just had, like, 40 people all on a roster for our volleyball team. It was just crazy.
Which set-apart retreat did you go on?
We went on the one to Florida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That's so fun.
It was really relaxing. I'd highly recommend.
Definitely. Well, everybody gets to go on them, all like, you know, new students, basically. Yeah. What is your favorite building on campus?
Favorite building? The student center and the CLC. I found myself spending a lot of time like bouncing back and forth between the CLC, the student center, and the library.
Yeah.
Those were like my three primary places.
Yeah. What do you order at the Hiccup?
What do I order at the Hiccup? That varies. usually I'm getting some sort of like tea because I became a very big tea drinker over the course of this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get some sort of like chai tea. I've gotten I've done some of their matcha before. I drink a lot of black coffee. Mm-hmm. I just do straight black.
Yeah.
That's unpopular for a lot of people.
It's the best.
But,
it's the only way to go.
Exactly. And so it's an acquired taste. I will say it's an acquired taste.
Once you drink black coffee, you can't go back.
Exactly.
Well, any other tips that you would give to incoming students about, you know, anything from studying to getting involved on campus, you know, do's and don'ts, anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I'd say the big, like, three things that I found myself thinking was, you know, one, when you're going in, you should really try to put yourself in some situations that make you uncomfortable.
Mm, that's good.
That's where a lot of your growth is going to happen. I remember doing, like, our sophomore musical. I am not an actor. I am not a dancer, and I am not a singer. And so it was deeply uncomfortable for me to do it, be in our sophomore musical. But I did it.
That's great. And I bet you loved it.
I did. I had some fantastic memories getting to be with my class doing something like that. I never thought something I thought I would do, but I did it.
Yeah, that's good.
The second big thing I would say is really figure out what you want to get out of college.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we live in an attention economy.
Yeah.
We live in an attention economy, and so everyone's biting for your time, and everything is biting for your time.
Mm-hmm.
And really sitting down to think about that without distractions, you know, what am I trying to do here is important.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets overlooked. I approach going to school like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. That's me. That's not for everyone. But that's how I look at it, and so I'm on my 9 to 5, 8 to 5 schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I'm going to treat it. I'm going to give it my all. You know, I'm going to dress the part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I approach things. And so figuring out how you want to tailor what your college experience needs to look like is, I think, important.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
And then the last thing of those three is going to be that, you know, God's got this. It's so easy to stress and become overwhelmed. It's okay to take breaks. It's okay to, you know, take a step back. Breathe, you know, to set aside some time to, you know, figure out, you know, Lord, what do you want me to be doing? Lord, give me the strength to get through this because I can't do it on my own. And I would stress about finances constantly, and each time he's made a way.
Mm-hmm.
He's made a way every time.
He tells us many times not to worry,
exactly.
Not to worry about tomorrow,
exactly.
Not to worry.
He's a reason for that.
Exactly, right. That stress can definitely eat you up. So in closing, how do you de-stress when all that, there's some heavy things you just drop, but good, but a lot,
it's
a lot of work.
It is a lot.
So how do you counterbalance that? What do you do to take that load off?
Being outside is always good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big into, you know, backpacking, being outdoors. That's mm-hmm. something I went and did
great
over the
places
summer.
Around here to do that, too.
Exactly.
Where'd you go? Oh, you went up to Maine this summer, you said, right?
I did.
That's really cool.
We did the 100-mile wilderness, me and a few friends.
That's great.
Yeah. It was fabulous. It's a great way to just unplug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need sometimes is to mm-hmm. unplug. So coming back to your previous question, mm-hmm. you know, talking about ways to de-stress
mm-hmm.
And alleviate that, sitting down, you know, reading.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to, you know, find time to eat food, to take a nap. I journal and read a lot
mm-hmm.
Are my two, like, go-tos. And then going for a walk, also great. I'd say those are my main three.
Yeah, that's good. And sleeping. I think that's the most underrated college advice.
I know. Sleeping can be great. And whatever you do, I have to say, get rid of your phone.
Yes.
Get rid of your phone, whatever you're doing to rest, because people don't realize it, but so much of your mental energy and your emotional endurance is just being sucked away
mm-hmm.
through whatever screen you might have propped up. So taking that out and inserting whatever you want your routine to be, whether that means powering off your phone for a couple of hours or something like that, can be so restful in and of itself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, thank you, Zach. We'll be seeing you around a lot this semester, and I'm sure you'll be here on the podcast again. I really appreciate you kicking off season two with us. This is like episode number 80-something, I believe.
Oh, wow.
We've done a bunch of these, and I'm so glad that you're here for this one.
Yeah.
So excited for people
to
hear.
I'm so honored to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for
extending that invitation.
Of course. We will see you on campus.
Awesome. See ya.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.